Nun Amar Aleph, or up to the third line in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ibay Elihu, Pachus Mishtus LeRabbanan LaAlter Havya Mechila, O Bechdei Sheira LeSagar O LeKrovo. If you remember, we were discussing extensively yesterday that when it comes to invoking a claim of Ona'a, if I want to claim that you overcharge me and I want either to recant on the entire transaction or at the very least compensate me for the exploitation for the Ona'a, we mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday that there's a limited time frame for how long you can do that for. We said that at least according to the Rabbanan, you only have the amount of time that it would take to show your merchandise to a merchant or to a relative. So the question becomes in the Gemara, does that standard also apply for an overcharge of less than a sixth? Yesterday we discussed what the standard is for a sixth or perhaps more than a sixth. But here the question is, what about if the overcharge is less than a sixth? Do we say that the assumption is the buyer waives that overcharge? It's such a minimal amount anyway, he waives it right away. Or no, perhaps it's the same time frame that applies to that as well. The Imtim Tzilomar B'chdei She'irah El'Sagar LeKrovo, my Ika Bein Shtus LeFachos Mishtus. So if you're going to take the second approach, that it's the exact same time frame, that it's however long it takes to show it to the merchant or to the relative, so then what qualitatively, what's the difference between an overcharge of a sixth or less than a sixth? So the Gemara says, no, Ika the Ilu Shtus Yadu Al HaYonam, Ratza Choser, Ratza Kona Umachzerona, V'ilu Pachos Mishdus, Kona Umachzerona. The Gemara says that actually there is a difference between an overcharge of exactly 1/6 versus less than a sixth, even if you think the time frames are the same. The difference is that in the case of an overcharge of a sixth, so the one who is exploited has the upper hand in the sense that they can either recant on the entire transaction, or they can keep the item and then just demand compensation for the additional sixth that they were overcharged, as opposed to an overcharge of less than a sixth, where the transaction is final, and all they can do is demand back the less than a sixth that they were overcharged. So what exactly is the halacha here? It says the Gemara Tashma. It is ona, it's just not, it's meaning it doesn't cancel the transaction. It's still usher to do. You're not allowed to overcharge someone by a 48th either, by even a minimal amount. You can't do that either. It's still usher. The question though in our Gemara that we're interested in is how enforceable is this? Does this nullify the entire transaction? Those are two different issues. Okay, so again, the Gemara says, Tashma, Chazru ledivrei chacham. If you remember, we spent a lot of time yesterday, we spent basically the entire daf today discussing the Tagare Lud, the merchants of Lud. Remember, we discussed this in the Mishnah yesterday, how initially they wanted to follow the Chachamim. I'm sorry, they wanted to follow Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon had a much more expansive view of what Ona'a is. Remember, the Rabbanan think Ona'a is overcharged by a sixth, and Rabbi Tarfon said, no, it's a third. So a third sounds like it's a much better deal for the sellers, because they could upcharge by a lot more and get away with it. But then eventually they recanted and said, we're gonna stick with the Rabbanan's position. Why? Because the Rabbanan had a much more limited time frame. They said, we can only invoke Ona'a for this very small window where they could go and run and show the merchant or their relative, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, they have the whole day to go and figure out whether they got cheated. So it wasn't worth it to the Tagare Lud, to the merchants of Lud, to rely on Rabbi Tarfon's larger share of Ona, because the odds that anyone would wait the whole day until they realized that they were overcharged by such a large amount was highly improbable. So the Gemara explains, Savrua, Pachos Mishlish LeRabbi Tarfon, Kefachos Mishtus LeRabbanan Dami. Initially they thought that less than a third for Rabbi Tarfon is the equivalent of less than a sixth for the Rabbanan. Meaning, the same way that we've just established that if you overcharge by less than a sixth, the way that we paskin, like the Rabbanan, that basically the transaction is still finalized. It's just you can demand back the overcharge. So the Tagari Lud, the merchants of Lud, assume that's the same standard for Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, in other words, what we call less than a sixth is what Rabbi Tarfon calls less than a third. However, the Gemara explains, I amar bishlama pachos mishtos l'Rabbanan b'chdei she'ira el sagar l'krovo u'le Rabbi Tarfon kol hayom mishum hachi chazru. That logic would only make sense if you thought that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Tarfon had two different time frames as to how long can you invoke a claim of Ona'a. Meaning, if you believe that the Rabbanan said you can invoke a claim of Ona'a only for this limited time frame of showing the item to a merchant or to a relative, whereas Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you have the whole day to claim Ona'a, that's the reason why they eventually recanted back to the Rabbanan. Initially, they thought Rabbi Tarfon was a much better deal, but then once they realized Rabbi Tarfon's time frame was much longer, they said, you know what, we're going to stick with the Rabbanan's position. But the problem is, Ella Iamar Pachos Mishtus LeRabbanan LaAlter Havya Mechila Ule Rabbi Tarfon Nami LaAlter Havya Mechila Amai Chazru Bid Rabbi Tarfon Necha Lehu Tfei Demai De Rabbanan Kamashvi Lehu Ona LeRabbi Tarfon Havya Mechila. The Gemara says, actually, it doesn't make any sense why the merchants of Lud would have recanted if you think that the time frame is identical. If you believe that less than a sixth for the Rabbanan or less than a third for Rabbi Tarfon smartphone is the same thing, meaning to say that the buyers just waive their rights to get that extra overcharge back, and that's immediate, and there's no recourse for it. So then, of course, the merchants of Lud should have stuck with the position of Rabbi Tarfon because it's to their advantage. It's the same time frame, according to this, and Rabbi Tarfon's shear of Onah is much larger than that of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara pushes back on this. The Gemara says, Misvaras pachos mishlish le Rabbi Tarfon, kefachos mishtus le Rabbanan dame, lo mishtus viad shlish le Rabbi Tarfon, kishtus atzma le Rabbanan dame. The Gemara rejects our initial Hava Amina. We thought that less than a third for Rabbi Tarfon is the same as less than a sixth for the Rabbanan, meaning to say that the buyers are going to waive that overcharge because it's considered somewhat minimal, but the Gemara rejects that contention. The Gemara thinks that Rabbi Tarfon believes that any overcharge that's between a third and a sixth, meaning less than a third, is the equivalent of an overcharge of exactly 1/6, according to the Rabbanan, in which case the assumption is that potentially the sale the sale stands, but you still have to return the overcharge. So asks the Gemara, Ihachi b'may samchu me'ikara. The question is that in the Mishnah we mentioned that the merchants of Lud initially they were happy, they rejoiced at the psak of Rabbi Tarfon, because initially they believed that they were gonna get this windfall, they were gonna be able to overcharge by up to a third and be able to cheat people out of all of this money. But why were they so happy? According to what we've just established, that an overcharge, that a discrepancy between a third and a sixth of according to Rabbi Tarfon is the equivalent of an overcharge of exactly a sixth according to the Rabbanan, so then the merchants aren't gaining anything anyway because they're always going to have to return that overcharge amount. So the Gemara says, no. Tifsho devitul mekach l'Rabbanan li'olam chozer. We can conclude from this question that according to the Rabbanan, whenever you're talking about a potential nullification of a transaction, that possibility is always on the table. There is no time frame. There's no limiting principle when it comes to backing out of a deal or reneging from the transaction. The chevan de amar luhu Rabbi Tarfon havya ona asamchu. Initially, when Rabbi Tarfon said that it's ona all the way up to a third and not merely a sixth, so the merchants got very excited about that because now they thought they could make a lot more money. Ki amar luhu kol hayom chazru. But once Rabbi Tarfon clarified his position and said, by the way, the buyers have all day to figure out that they got cheated, as opposed to just a couple of hours to go ask their merchants or their relatives. So then they backed down and they went back to the Rabbanan. The Isal Kedaitach the Vitul Mekach LeRabbanan Bichdei Sheyiroa LeSagaro LeKrovo B'May Samchu. Because if you're going to tell me that even when it comes to nullifying and reneging and recanting from a transaction entirely, that is also limited by the shear in the Mishnah of the amount of time that it takes to show your merchandise to a merchant or to a relative, as opposed to always being able to renege on the transaction, so then why exactly were the merchants of Lud so happy? What were they rejoicing about? Because, in other words, I have the ability to recant on this deal for as long as I want. So the Gemara says, no. Samchu bishtus atzma de le Rabbi Tarfon mechila ule Rabbanan ona'a. The Gemara explains that the happiness, that the rejoicing of the merchants of Lud was very limited to one specific instance where the overcharge was exactly 1/6. If the seller overcharge you by exactly 1/6, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Tarfon says that an overcharge of exactly 1/6 is mechila. The buyer waives that right, so they got very excited about that because they thought we can overcharge by a sixth and keep the overcharge. And the Rabbanan say, no, that an overcharge of exactly a sixth is considered ona'a. That was the reason why they initially got excited about Rabbi Tarfon. Only once they realized that Rabbi Tarfon gave a much longer time frame for the buyer to realize that he had been cheated, so then they backed down and they went back to following the Rabbanan. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ibayalu. Betul mekach l'rabbanan liolam chozer, o dilma b'chdei she'eroa l'sagar o l'kro. The Gemara basically just reframes the question that we just addressed in the Gemara a second ago, which is that when it comes to nullifying the transaction because of ona'a, does the buyer have the ability to always do that? He can always claim ona'a even days, months, years later? Or no, is it limited again to the same time frame that we keep on alluding to, enough time to show the merchandise to a merchant or to a relative? The imtim tzolomar b'chdei she'eroa l'sagar o l'krovo, mat ika ben shtus liyasar al shtus. And the Gemara basically asks the same question that we asked in the previous Amud, but in the reverse case. In other words, if you're going to argue the second approach, that really fundamentally, there is no difference in terms of the time frame, that your time frame is limited. If you want to invoke the idea that you can back out of the transaction, you only have the amount of time it takes to show the merchandise to a merchant or to a relative, so then what's the difference between overcharging by a sixth or more than a sixth? So the Gemara says, no. Ika the ilu shtus misha nesana chozer, the ilu yeser al shtus shnehem chozrin mai. The Gemara says, again, very similar to what we saw earlier in the Gemara, which is that when the upsell is exactly a sixth, only the party that was exploited, only the party that was taken advantage of, they can be the one to renege and recant from the transaction. In contrast, when the overcharge was by more than 1/6, either party can recant or back out of the deal. So what's the halacha? What's
why would the seller want to recant?
What was that?
Why would the seller?
Well, because again, Ona'ah could be in either direction. It could be that the buyer pulled a fast one on him, right? That's also possible. We also discussed this a little bit yesterday as well, right? That Ona'ah could theoretically work in two directions. So again, so what's the answer to this question? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Chazru L'Divrei Chachamim. Once again, the Gemara makes reference back to our Mishnah, that eventually the merchants of Lud realized that Rabbi Tarfon's position was not as cracked up as they thought it was, because his window, his time frame of invoking Ona'ah was much longer than that of the Rabbanan. So they backed down and they said, you know what, we're going to stick with the Chachamim's position. So the Gemara explains, Iyamar Pishlama Bitul Mekach L'Rabbanan B'chdei She'iro El Sagaro L'Krovo U'le Rabbi Tarfon Kol Hayom Mishum Hachi Chazru Ela Iyamar Bitul Mekach The Gemara says like this, I understand if you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan's position when it comes to invoking the idea of backing out, of nullifying the transaction, is this limited time frame of showing the merchandise to a merchant or to a relative. And Rabbi Tarfon disagrees and says, no, that you have all day to do that. So it makes a lot of sense why the Tagare Lud eventually backed out. Initially, they thought Rabbi Tarfon's position was a lot better because he gave a larger shear of Ona'ah. Once they realized that his time frame was much short, was much longer, and that was going to put them at a disadvantage, they decided to recant and follow the Rabbanan. But if you're going to argue that according to the Rabbanan, you always have the ability to back out and to nullify the transaction, so then why exactly did they recant from Rabbi Tarfon's position to follow the Chachamim? If anything, Rabbi Tarfon's position seems more advantageous to the merchants of Lud, because according to Rabbi Tarfon, the buyer only has that day to recant on the transaction, whereas according to this approach, the Rabbanan are going to argue that you have forever, la'olam chozer, you're always able to recant. So obviously, Rabbi Tarfon's position would seem to be more advantageous. Why exactly would the merchants of Lud want to recant and follow the Rabbanan? So the Gemara says, bitul mekach lo shchiach. Although it's true that in this particular instance, it might be to the advantage of the merchants of Lud to follow Rabbi Tarfon's position, it's highly unlikely that you're ever going to run into a scenario where the buyer all of a sudden decides, you know what, I don't want this item anymore. It's very, very uncommon to have a guy who wants to buy something and then 2 seconds later just changes his mind. It's highly improbable. So even though it's true that technically speaking, in this instance, it's true that in theory, Rabbi Tarfon's position is more advantageous to the Tagare Lud, but overall, in most normal scenarios, it was more advantageous for them to follow the position of the Rabbanan. Okay, then the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Hilchasa Pachos Mishtus Nikna Mekach, Yoser Al Shtus Bitul Mekach, Shtus Kana Umachzer Ona'am, so Rava essentially just kind of summarizes all of the cases that we discussed today. He says that we paskin that an overcharge of less than 1/6, the sale is 100% finalized. If the overcharge is by more than 1/6, the entire transaction is null and void. If the overcharge is by exactly 1/6, the sale is binding, but the seller has to return the 1/6 amount. And the Gemara points out that in all of these cases, the time frame, again, as we keep on pointing out, is however long it takes for a person to show his merchandise to a merchant or to a relative. Once that time frame passes, so the assumption is that the buyer has waived his right to collect any ona. The Gemara says, Tanya kivasi derava, ona pachos mishtus nikna mekach, yeser al shtus bital mekach, shtus kana umachzir ona divrei Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi omer, yad mocher al ha'elyona. Rotze omer lo, tein li mekhi o tein li mashe unesi, vezev vezev bichdei sheira l'sagar o l'krovo. The Gemara just points out that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi about a case of an overcharge that's exactly 1/6. According to Rabbi Nasan, that's the way that we seem to paskin, that an overcharge of exactly 1/6, the sale is binding, but the seller has to return the additional overcharge, as we just pointed out. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi has a slightly different approach, which is he says that in this scenario, the mocher, the seller, has the upper hand, which means that he could do one of two things. Either he could decide to completely recant, completely renege on the transaction, or he could say the transaction is finalized, but you have to refund me by the additional 6. And again, the Gemara points out, as we keep on noting, there is this time frame where for all of these claims of Ona'ah, they're all limited to this window of enough time to show your merchandise to a merchant or to a relative. Okay, then finally we said, Ad Masai Mutter Lahachzir. We mentioned again in the Mishnah this time frame that you have, in other words, enough time to show it to a merchant or a relative. Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Shanu Ela Lo Keach, Ava Mocher Liolam Chozer. We actually alluded to this a little bit yesterday, which is Rav Nachman's qualification on the Mishnah. When the Mishnah told us that the time frame to invoke a claim of Ona'ah is enough time to show the item item to a merchant or a relative, Rav Nachman says that's only if it's the lokeach, if it's the buyer who's trying to put forth a claim of onah. Then he has this very limited window. But if it's the seller, he's the one who's claiming that he was cheated. He's claiming that the buyer pulled a fast one on him and that he cheated him out of money. So according to Rav Nachman, the buyer, the seller can issue a claim of onah forever. There is no time frame on how long he can issue that claim for it. And so the Gemara says, Neima misayele chazru l'divrei chachamim. So the Gemara tries to corroborate this distinction of Rav Nachman based on our Mishnah. Again, the same story we keep on mentioning about the merchants of Lud. The merchants of Lud initially wanted to follow Rabbi Tarfon because his shear of onah was larger, was a third as opposed to a sixth. But when they realized that Rabbi Tarfon's time frame was much shorter, was much longer than that of the Rabbanan, and would give the buyers more of a chance to recant and renege on the deal, so they decided to go back to follow the Chachamim. So the Gemara explains, E amar pishlama mocher liolam choser mishum hachi chazru. So I understand if you're going to cite Rav Nachman's distinction that we just quoted, that the seller can always invoke onah, and that time frame, that limited time frame in the Mishnah, was only referring to the buyer, so that I understand exactly why the merchants of Lud recanted their position, because now they realize that Rabbi Tarfon has a longer time frame, and that's going to be to their disadvantage. But Ella I amart mocher nami kilokeach dame, my nafka luhumina, ki hechi da avdili rabana takanta lilokeach, hachi nami avdili rabana takanta lemocher. But if you're going to tell me that the seller is just like the lokeach, you're going to argue on Rav Nachman's distinction. You're going to tell me, no, that this time frame of only invoking onah for this very, very small window is true both for the seller and for the buyer. So then the question becomes, how is this to the advantage of the merchants of Lud? The same way that the Rabbanan invoked the takana, that the buyers can only cite a claim of onah for this very small window, so they made that same exact takana for the sellers as well. Seemingly, there is no advantage to either party because both of them have this very limited window, to which the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, Tagari Lud lo shchiach detau. It was very uncommon, or it was rare, for the merchants of Lud to err or to make a mistake in such a fashion. It was much more likely that a seller could pull a fast one on a buyer than the reverse. The merchants of Lud were well versed in business; they knew the market values of the items that they were selling, and hence it was much less likely that they could be cheated, that they could be exploited. It was more likely that they would be the ones doing the exploiting, and that's exactly why they were initially satisfied with their retirement position, but only once they realized that his time frame was longer than that of the Rabbanan, that they decided to recant and follow the position of the Rabbanan.